in prayer, and then I'll explain what we're going to do. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name we come. Lord, I want to thank you personally for the last 6 weeks that you have allowed me to deliver your message about who we really are in Christ Jesus. Tonight, Lord, as we wrap this up, I pray that the things that we talk about and the things that we do actually get manifested in the lives of the people. This isn't about adding head knowledge, Lord. This is about changing lives, changing hearts, and having us truly comprehend by your Holy Spirit and your knowledge and your wisdom in us that you give to us so that we understand who we are in you and who Christ is in us. We invite you, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit to be with us. Teach us what you would have us know. Show us what you would have us see. And tell us what you would have us hear, that we may be better, more willing, and obedient children of God. Amen. Now tonight we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to do a mock trial. Okay? Darren is going to be the judge. And Gary is going to be the opposing attorney representing the accuser. And it's going to be fun. However, tonight, when we leave here, the trial that we have conducted has been a mock trial. But make no mistake, there will be a time when we pass from this world into the next that if we do not have Jesus Christ as our attorney for the defense, the case that the accuser is going to present is 100% true, cannot be refuted, will not be rebutted, because what he says is true. However, if we do have that new identity, we're in. Not on our own effort, not on our own work or anything that we have done, other than accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Okay. So I'd like everybody that's in the back, Gloria on back, to come up a little closer to the front, please, and sit in the pews if we could. Because there's going to be a part at the end where the accused are going to be called to the witness stand. And I don't want to be walking all the way to the back when we do that. So, Your Honor, if you could come up front, please. And the prosecuting attorney, also known as the accuser,
Mr. Gary,
and also known as Satan.
Oh.
And, you know,
order in the court.
A lot of times, Gary and I go back and forth, and we have fun with each other. But the Lord chose Gary to play the accuser, not because of his character, not because he would do a good job or anything like that. But Gary and I have faced this enemy together over the past 11 years. And we fought life and death wars together. And guess what? We've won. Okay? And I want him to do this because he understands how the enemy operates as well as I do. And I don't want somebody standing up here that doesn't know how the enemy operates, because then you think, well, maybe it'll be easy. It's not. Okay? And he's here because he knows what he does. He knows the lies that he tells. He knows the half-truths. He knows all these kinds of things, because he has faced life and death with his family. And I have faced life and death with my family. But he always had my back and I always had his. So there is no one else that I could imagine that would do as good a job as Gary. Now, here are the charges. This is the trial for all of mankind, of which we are all a part. Okay? And these are the charges. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's the top charge, top count. Everybody in here, according to this, is guilty. The second count, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all have sinned. Those are the two counts. Now, we're going to call different witnesses tonight. Gary's going to call the Apostle Paul. Is going to be his only witness. That's the only witness he needs. And I'm going to call the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, the Apostle Isaiah, and I'm going to call you. Okay? So, it's important that we internalize the Word of God. So when we think about Paul giving testimony, or we think about John giving testimony, or Isaiah giving testimony, he's giving testimony about life, about what affects our lives, about what has affected his life, and it's the truth of the Word of God. So, Mr. Prosecutor, would you like to present your case?
Your Honor, may it please the Court. I come today to you to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that everyone here has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and brought death to the world. And I'm convinced with the testimony that I'll present, you'll find no other conclusion but that that's true. I begin with the first witness, the words of the Apostle Paul. He's your apostle, unimpeachable. He says in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Concise, to the point, undeniable. In Romans 5, in verse 12, he says, sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people, because all have sinned. Again, concise, to the point. He goes on in verse 15, many died by the trespass of one man. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. By the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man. One trespass resulted in condemnation for all people. Through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners. Your Honor, you know these people. You know their hearts. You know, as well as I do, that all of them have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It may be in greed, it may be in lust. They've all violated your Ten Commandments. It's clear. And so if you're the just God that you claim to be, there's only one verdict that you can find. You have to find them guilty for being sinful and falling short of the glory of God. God rest my case. So lay down.
I cannot dispute what the Apostle Paul has said. However, these people in this room are innocent because the identity that you say they have is not the correct identity. You are trying to hold them accountable for what has been paid for by me. And I'm going to prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Not a reasonable doubt. but beyond a shadow of a doubt, it will be proven. And my first witness that I would like to call would be the Apostle John. And his testimony comes about your character, because you throughout time have been the same. Starting with Job, bringing your own accusations against Job, baseless charges about who he was, and it was proven to be false. But we're going to start with the book of the Revelation in chapter 12, and it starts in verse 10. It says, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser, and that's you, bringing your own accusations against the brethren, you have been thrown down. And you have accused the brethren before our God day and night. However, they have overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. They have sacrificed their own lives so that Christ can live in them, and we're going to prove that. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth, which is where we are now, because you have been thrown down, and knowing you, and having great wrath, because you know your time is short. And also, you were enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So, your accusations are false against this crowd. Okay? I would also like to call the prophet Isaiah. And let people know what your character really is. So in the 14th chapter of Isaiah, starting in verse 12, through the power of the Holy Spirit in him, he testifies, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning sun of dawn. You used to be a wonderful choir director and a beautiful beloved of God. However, you have weakened the nations, but you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the recesses of the north, and I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down to the recesses of the pit. You show your heart with your accusations, with what you want. You want what you cannot have, and you will never have it. Now we're going to go back to the Apostle Paul. And we started in...
Pardon, please. Approach the bench, please. Okay. Thank you, Bill.
Order in the court.
Bailiff has an assignment, I think. but we're going to start. You started with Romans chapter 3, verse 23, right? Okay. Well, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And you forgot the rest of the story. Okay, and we're going to go over that. "And all are justified freely by the grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ."
Wait, check. That's not fair.
Who said it wasn't fair? You've always accused everyone else.
It's not fair.
It doesn't matter if it's not fair. You're not fair. So, exactly. What he said, you snooze, you lose. So, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. So these people do not have to stand on their own because they have accepted that atonement. Through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith, he did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so that as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. They no longer stand accused because the price was paid.
Order in the court.
Also, the paperwork failed.
Thank you.
It's all Billy.
See, so in reality, even in heaven, we're going to have paperwork? Holy cow. Okay, then, Mr. Accuser, we went to Romans chapter 5, did we not? And you started in verse 12. However, I'd like to start in verse 10, because that's where the rest of the story is. "For if while we were God's enemies," which you stated very clearly that we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And here's the part you forgot in your 12th verse. It says, "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned, to be sure, sin was in the world before the law was ever given. But sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is the pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase, but when sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're talking about matters of the heart here. And we're going to offer proof of...
We're going to need evidence. We're going to need evidence of a certificate of occupancy of what you are stating to be true.
Right here. Okay.
Please.
So, please take something out of this bean pot. Take this too.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Now I've got to know. Are you guys? You guys are good readers, right?
No.
Okay.
I can help him.
You can help him out.
What? Oh, I'm a terrible reader, and I'm 16.
Ooh.
No,
Mr. Clerk.
Is it okay? Why don't you just because we're gonna have to read you? Help me
in my hey,
that'll work.
I think that's dangerous.
No,
don't open it. Not a toy.
Your Honor, can this young man participate in this?
He can with Mr. Joel and Heidi. But Ezekiel, please go sit with Joel, Mr. Joel and Heidi. And you can participate. You can hold on to it over there. But
no, don't.
Here.
Don't trade, but don't open it.
Here, I'll tell you what. Let me have that, and you take another one.
Can I do it? No.
Nope.
That's teaching.
That's a good idea. That's such a bad idea.
Let's give knives to children.
Yeah!
This guy play.
Why don't we give strong
advice to
Ah, compass.
That's a useful tool. I'll
trade you this one.
Oh, okay. That is a real phone.
I used to have one.
It's empty. Okay. Yes. Tom?
I just need to know which one to go up.
We'll know.
Okay.
Okay, this is going to be the evidence, because, Your Honor, the things that are going to be presented here are evidence of my life in them. There is no way that they can have this kind of a life on their own because of being separated from you. If they have not been born again and have your Holy Spirit in them, they cannot have this kind of life. So I'm going to ask you, after the evidence has been presented, if in these defendants you recognize the life that they say they have in themselves. You are the judge and the jury. You are the final word as to whether or not this testimony is true. So, who has the salt packet? Would you please stand and... And read this about your life, what it says up there about the salt packet.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again?
It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men.
You are now the salt of the earth. Salt adds flavor. And it also creates thirst, which would allow rivers of living water to flow through your lives. And, Your Honor, we will ask you if there is evidence of that in these two young men's lives.
So you're stating for the court.
Yes.
That if Christ indeed lives in these people, that salt will be a fruit of that. Will be.
Yes. That is it. Okay. Who has the seeds and the seed pods? Okay. Stand up, please. These seed pods represent fruit. Anybody ever eat an apple? Or a different piece of fruit? And in the center of that fruit, there are seeds. Okay? And in this particular seed pod, it comes from a flower. And in the middle of that pod, if you, when it becomes ready to drop to the ground, it's full of seeds. Mm-hmm. And that's the fruit of the flower. So, would you please read what it says in John 15, verses 4 and 5, and in Galatians 22, 23, about whose fruit it is?
John 15, 4, abide in me and in you.
And wait a minute, and what?
And I in you.
There you go.
As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. And in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
So the question is, whose fruit is it that you bear? What does it say up there? Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Whose fruit is coming through you?
The Lord.
And we will ask, Your Honor, that you verify that that is true after the rest of this testimony is given. Thank you, and you can have a seat. I don't think I brought a flashlight. You have a flashlight? That's good, because that's exactly like the flashlight that I had at home that I was going to bring. So, if you would please, would you read what it says about that light that you are carrying?
Whose light? Then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but all the lampstands, and it's given light to all who are in the house, let your light shine before me. It's such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
Good. I would like to see if that light shines. Yes. Thank you.
And Is that your light, or is that someone else's light in you, according to this scripture? Someone else's light. Thank you. Who has the compass? Would you help him and stand up and read what John 14, 1 through 6 says, the journey of life, and that is what a compass is for, is to make sure that you know where you're headed.
Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
So, who is the way? Is this young man here, or Joel, are you the way, the truth, and the life, or is it someone that lives in you?
Someone that lives in me.
And someone that lives in him and everyone else in here because we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Who has a roll of tape? Daddy has that. By the way, that is waterproof tape. Okay? That is waterproof tape so that it will stick even under the water. So, would you please read for us Colossians 16 and 17 and tell us what it says about the one that lives inside of you and that particular roll of tape.
Who holds everything together? Glory be him, all things were created, both in heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones, dominations, or rules of authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together.
So, do you hold the things together?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so there's someone that lives inside of you and dwells in you.
Yes, sir.
That holds all things together.
Yep.
Okay, who has the pocket knife?
I do.
Would you please read what the Word of God says about that particular pocket knife?
In Hebrews 4:12, says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
So is the word that dwells in you, is that your word that is living and powerful?
No, it's God's word.
It's God's word that is living and powerful. And Your Honor, again, at the end of this, after all of these witnesses have given testimony, I'm going to ask you if you notice these things of life in these witnesses. Anybody have a pass key? That's that flat piece of... Would you please read what the Word of God says about that particular pass key, please?
John 10:7. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are the robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly.
So let me ask you a question. Do you have the ability to open that door on your own? Is there someone that lives inside of you that is willing to open that door for you? Thank you. Who has the medallion? That's it. That's the medallion. Yes, because the one that hung on that cross that's represented in that medallion, he represents a whole bunch.
If you need help, you've got a court-appointed helper in back of you, Miss Gloria.
Miss Gloria will be more than happy to help you.
Philippians 4:7.
Let's go to Ephesians 2:14, okay?
Ephesians 2:14.
For he...
For he himself.
For he himself, our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall.
Okay, hold on just one second. It says, for he himself is our peace. He is our peace. We don't have our own. In Philippians 4:7, what does it say?
And the peace of God, which separates...
Surpasses
all...
Comprehension.
All comprehension.
Will
guide your hearts and your minds. In Jesus Christ.
Okay. And in Colossians 1:20?
And through him to...
That him is Jesus.
That through him
to reconcile.
To reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Not
through
that.
Through him. Yes.
I said,
whether things
on earth or things in heaven.
And that word reconciled? That means that they were separated before, but he has brought them back together. Okay? And through Jesus is the one that brought about that reconciliation. Who has the bottle of eye drops? What does the Word of God say about those eye drops, please?
I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints?
Hold on a second. Before we go any farther. Riches of the glory of whose inheritance?
His inheritance.
His inheritance. God the Father Almighty's inheritance. We are his inheritance according to this word. Okay, go ahead, please.
And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places.
Whose glory?
His glory.
And whose power?
His power.
And whose might?
His might.
To do what? To raise
Christ from the dead.
From the dead. Is that your power?
Who opens the eyes?
Who opens the eyes? God opens the
eyes. The Spirit of God. Okay. Who has a... It's a little white tube. It's got some earplugs in it. Okay. What does the Word of God say about those earplugs, please? So who gives us ears to hear? God gives us ears to hear. So before, if we don't have God, how can we hear what he has to say? Ah. So, Your Honor, we will be asking for your testimony on that, please. Who has a cell phone? What does it say about the cell phone? Who does the rescuing?
God.
And what do we have to do to get rescued? Call on him. What part of that rescuing do we play? We do the calling. Who does the rescuing? God does. Exactly. That's the emergency 911 number. Who has a medicine bottle?
Right here.
Would you read what the Word of God says about that medicine bottle, please?
Sure. Proverbs 4:20. My son, give attention to my words.
Does that also mean daughters?
Yes.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their bodies.
I like to refer to that as God's medicine. You know, when you go to the doctor's office and they write you a prescription, they'll give you a medicine that man has made, and it's temporary. But God has medicine that is eternal. And when we pour that medicine in, that secures our eternity. Who has that stir stick? That little straw? Looks like an insignificant little thing, doesn't it? You can, you know, stir some coffee up with it and so forth. But what does it say in the Word of God about that little stir stick? It's 2 Timothy 1:16. For which cause?
For which cause I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands.
You ever been at a campfire, when it's starting to die down a little bit, does you get a stick, and you poke it, what happens?
Coals
get uncovered. Flame starts coming back up. You put some more fuel on the fire, and the fire starts to rage again. That little teeny stick, that can stir up a raging fire. And we're going to be asking the judge if that is apparent in the lives of these witnesses. Who has the binoculars?
When there is no fishing, the people are
under strain.
But happy is he who keeps the laws. Proverbs 29:18. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and oh, then you can call upon me. Call upon me and pray, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with your heart.
With all your heart. He has the plan. And we need to seek him to find out that plan. There's one last thing on this bean pot. And I'm sure over the past couple of weeks you guys have noticed that there is no regular lid for this. Okay? But there's a new lid, a supernatural lid. And it's and you ask the question, how secure is my salvation and eternity? And in Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him, in Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, have also believed. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. This bean pot is sealed. There's only one being that has access to this bean pot, because it's sealed. It can't be gotten into except by the Lord Jesus Christ. To access the contents of this bean pot and access those fruits and those gifts that he has given you to witness through you to other people. And you being this inanimate object that he created is very valuable, because this pot holds the contents. That's the value of the pot. Because without this, there is nothing for God to put his contents into. And there is nothing for him to reach into and activate and minister to people all over the world. You look at this and say, what could it possibly be worth? It could be that this pot could be dipped into water and give someone that is dying of thirst a drink. Or someone that is starving to death, food could be carried in this. But it's not our responsibility to decide what this pot's going to be used for. Because now we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the one that has access to the contents and does what He wants to do in our lives. So, Your Honor, I ask you now, have you seen this fruit in these people? Because if you have, they are your children, not children of the world anymore. They have their new identity. They have a new life in Jesus. So,
Jeff, this isn't right. This has been fixed from the beginning. In your own words, John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. This has been set up from the beginning. You knew that you wanted none of these to perish, and all they needed to do was claim Him as Savior. This is right.
I've examined the evidence. According to the charges, it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and to that I do say, guilty. However, when I look at this list of accusations that you have brought against these people, it is an incredible list.
They're all true.
Years of sin and dishonoring of the Lord. I have to again say, guilty.
You should.
However, I also must say that according to the Word, it says, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ, and He forgave all your sins, and He took them away, nailing it to the cross. And so, because of Jesus, all these I put behind my back, and I do not count against them.
As if they never were?
According to the Word of God, it says if anyone is in Christ, if anyone has given their life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are a new creation. It says the old is gone, and the new has come. My verdict stands.
Sorry about that. You lose. They win. Now, okay. How many were here last week and remember what we did when we came up here and we got a new perspective? Because we looked and, you know, things were... They look different from up here than they did from back there. I've got another perspective that I want you to look at now. And I also have your new papers up here. Your certificate of birth in Christ. This is your new birth certificate. And also Christ's certificate of occupancy in your lives. Okay? Each one of you needs to take one of these with you.
Mr. Mann.
Yes.
May I say one thing?
Yes, you may.
According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think as we look upon some of these things, when you're saying, do you see these things in us as proof of occupancy, of Christ being in us?
Mm-hmm.
God's word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that Christ died for all. Okay? And he says this in verse 15, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So I think we need to all look at the mirror of God's word and ask ourselves, are we seeing the fruit of God's Holy Spirit? Are we seeing these things reflected in our life in an ever-increasing measure? You're asking me to judge, but God's word is a mirror that's going to reflect what you're seeing. And I think we all have to be open and honest and let the word, like Chris said, rightly divide soul, spirit, bone, and marrow so that it judges the thoughts and attitudes of our heart. We have to look into God's word to see if that's who we are. And if it's not, the Bible says that we're to examine ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith. And if we're not, we need to be honest before him and to say, I need a Savior. I'm not a sick person who needs a doctor. I'm a dead person who needs a Savior. And we need to ask for him. So before you leave this place, I want to make sure that you give everyone an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to ask him to come into their lives. So before we're through here, will you please do that?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
I want to give us a new perspective about who we are in him and what our permanent residence is. Because there's a lot of stuff that goes on out there and a lot of things change. But the word of God does not change. And I'm going to read Psalm 91 because this is your new dwelling place and this is your new rescuer. It's security of the one who trusts in the Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is the shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. You will only look on it with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up with their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra and the young lion and the serpent, and you will trample down. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will rescue him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask that you would inspect each of our hearts.
and tell us in all truth whether or not we have really accepted your only begotten Son as our Lord and Savior. And if we have not, may we do so right now. Your word says, call on me and I will answer you. May we call on you right now so that as we leave this place tonight, we have eternal security in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough, even when we were totally separated from you by the sin that was committed by another and the sin that we committed ourselves. But you loved us enough to allow your only begotten Son to pay a price that we could never pay. We thank you for that, Lord. We give you honor and glory and thanksgiving. And we dedicate ourselves to you from this day.